and it was sent to Linda Gephardt, the county clerk, the newspapers, and the radio.
Number three, approval of the agenda. Has everybody had an opportunity to look at it? Any questions?
Can I make a motion to amend it?
Sure.
Just to put community living connections on it?
Sure. Well, put it under communication.
I could, please. Thank you.
Sure. What is community?
Community living connections, it's
okay.
Called.
Okay, so with that amended?
I'll move approval with that amendment.
Dale?
I'll second.
Okay, Joanne seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Approval of the minutes from November 21st of 2018. Seems like a thousand
feels like forever ago, doesn't it? I know.
Everybody have an opportunity to review that. Any changes, corrections? If not, motion to approve it.
I so move.
Okay, Arnold?
I'll second.
Okay, Pam second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Number five, public comment communication. I want to do building update first and then go to the...
We can. We can. I did get the opportunity last week to go through the building. They are making significant progress, so that's nice. No ceilings in our part yet, although they're probably starting on those this week. Have
yeah.
you been in there?
Not yet. Yeah, they should start this week in carpet, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So the social services, I think, had most of their... ceilings done, which it makes a big difference. It starts to look more like space, office space, when you get ceilings in. So, they're making very good progress. We are waiting for this UPS power, which I'll let Shane explain, so that Shane can start getting in there. So, I think the physical interior will be, you know, good before too long. However, it's going to take a while for IT because there's an awful lot of...
awful lot of things like phones and,
yeah.
and networking and what have you.
Yeah.
The big holdup right now is the UPS systems. UPS stands for uninterrupted power supply.
Okay.
So if we were to lose power, computers are a lot like your pet, right? You got to feed them clean power. You got to keep them nice and cool. And the other thing is I wanted doors locked so no one walked off with our equipment.
Exactly.
So we've got the locked door situation taken care of. The cooling and heating systems are online over there. We're just kind of waiting for them to get the UPS systems up and rolling. So right now we're looking. It was supposed to be activated Monday. And when the gentleman came out to turn on our UPSs, said it's going to be more like a week, week and a half to get them up and going. So now we're looking about midweek. So after that's done, we do have our utilities like TDS and WIN, which provides internet. They'll be coming in at the end of this month. So as soon as those two connections get installed, we can start our work on getting the phones up and going and getting the building prepped for you.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
It is. It's looking very, very nice. Tentatively, we had talked, the department heads and Mr. Keeney had talked about an open house mid-May. I think that's still a little ambitious, but but we've talked about it.
It seems, you know, when you got a good beat on it, something happens. Or
I know.
UPS being a good
and that probably was, you know, better, but now that the UPS is back now another week, it's probably not as...
Yeah. Every time you turn around, there's a little bit of a delay,
so it
just all adds up on
happens.
You.
The
yeah.
intent
yeah.
is to have an open house before the jail is occupied so that people
yeah.
can see all
yeah.
of it. So, yeah, because people are very interested in it.
You will be in before
We
that.
Will be in, yes, yes. We will be in, I think, social services. The plan is to get social services and us over there.
Yes.
Possibly us first. We don't know.
Yes,
but, you know,
we're
sucking up to Shane a lot. So.
It's appreciated. It's number one in my book.
Yeah, and I mean, it kind of makes sense because we're the smaller offices, so if there's glitches, we can, you know, there won't be 30 people calling Shane, there'll only be 10 of us.
10 unhappy customers.
But no, they will actually have to run like a dual 911 center for a while, and there's a big transition period before they can even actually, before the state will let them move prisoners over, so it's quite... an undertaking on the jail side of it because they've had to have this transition team from the beginning that are actually in the job trailer along, working alongside, you know, the construction. So that kind of amazes me that how big of an undertaking it is. But so yeah, I do not expect them to be in for probably a couple months after we're in, I would think. Yeah. That's maybe the sheriff, right?
Yeah, we've got radios to get squared away. In my mind, the biggest issue is they're a 24/7 operation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they shut down at 4:30 and we can say, okay, time to move.
Yeah.
We
got to move the system while it's in production. So
yeah.
And make sure we don't drop a stitch. 911 is very important.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
we kind of like 911 to work. So
yeah, 911 is an important thing. So
yeah.
We're doing our best to
yeah.
get that figured out.
No, it's Shane's got a huge undertaking, not to mention he already has a full-time job in the county just taking care of the regular offices. So.
We'll get it done.
So, but it's looking good. Dale, have you had an opportunity? Have you been through it at all?
Yeah, probably a month ago now, I guess. Can that 911, can that be transferred? It seemed like me at one time, wasn't there a hookup between Lancaster and the office in Plavin?
You are correct. But with the way the system is transitioning, we can't use that line. And the reason
that's why I wondered if you could still do that. Yeah.
The
Let's
big reason for it is that.
Out of the
well, I was just
going to
guess.
Yeah.
That too. There's that one right over there.
Is it this one?
No,
is
it might be this one.
The major reason for that is that the current sheriff's office, everything is copper. There's a wire that runs to that office.
Mm-hmm.
At the new building, everything is fiber optic.
Oh.
Right? So. The way TDS has their systems put together, that's why we're having the issue, because they have to transition from a traditional copper wire to a fiber optic line. And even once the fiber optic line comes into the building, they try to emulate the copper wiring again. So somewhere in those conversions, they're telling us that, hey, we just can't pull off keeping Flyfall active while we're trying to transition over to the fiber optic network. So that's the reason for that. We're doing our best to figure a way so that we can transition without having little or no downtime.
Yeah.
And that's the trick. So,
like before, you know, basically I thought you just had like a switch, you know, and it'd go from Lancaster to Platteville.
And as long as the system's running 100% and on the copper wiring, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The problem is we're moving a lot of pieces, and I think that presents a challenge for us to toggle that switch back and forth.
Yeah.
More to come.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, exactly.
More sleepless nights for sure.
Yeah.
Any other questions in regards to that? Okay, if not, Joanne? Or Carolyn?
Okay, well, in December, and I'll pass this along, you know that new apartment complex that's going up on the corner of Water and Pine? And maybe you're all aware of this. I don't know. I didn't know this. 20% of those units, they're going to be 71 residential units. And again, maybe you knew this, but I didn't know this until I went to this meeting. 20% of the units are going to be designated for qualifying individuals with disabilities or military veterans. So has that brought my attention? And I was talking with some of the folks there, and just my situation alone, I have a son that has disabilities, and he needs 24/7 care. So it's getting there, but it's not quite there yet. But they will have staff on site if there's an emergency or if someone needs assistance. And I just thought this was exciting because this is the first out-of-sight, out-of-Dane County that they're providing this. So I thought that was exciting for us and individuals. So I just wanted to, if you didn't know about it, it's in coordination with Ruxton, who are the builders of the apartment building. And I didn't know anything else about it. I didn't even know what the building was going to be about. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
It's a nice-looking building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They will have units available and staff on site to help. They will have, like in my son's situation, they would have an alert button because he doesn't use a phone. In case of an emergency, he could just buzz that, and if you know, they're busy with somebody else, they would see what the emergency is. And they provide transportation for grocery shopping, recreation. So I think that's a good first start.
Nice.
I don't know that it's still there for my son, but
right.
I think it's a good first start to have those apartments available. So I just wanted to bring that to you.
Yeah, I had two friends who went to the meeting also because they have special needs, and a son and a daughter, and they agreed, it's wonderful and they're glad, but they're just not sure that they would still be in a safe enough environment
right.
for that
right.
particular
right.
situation.
Sure. Right.
But it's so much better than, you know, right now.
Than what
nothing.
They have now,
yeah.
right? Because there is nothing now that
right.
even provides that
yeah.
care
yeah.
on
yeah.
site.
So I see they've got Inclusive listed
yeah,
yes.
on here, so
yeah.
they must be contracting with Inclusive.
They
I wonder
are.
If they'll contract with the other
yeah, I don't know
MCOs.
You would think they would, but...
Yeah. But I just wanted to, if you didn't know about it, I just wanted to bring it
yeah,
to
we will, because we will update our housing list and stuff with this, so we'll try to get a little more information for our INA, so they're... understanding of it too.
They're
so.
Starting applications the end of January.
Okay. Do you know when it's going to be finished?
It's supposed to be open in July.
July. Okay.
And they said that there's always a wait list for these apartments because there's so few of them. So if there's anybody interested in it, they needed to get their application in
okay.
soon. And they don't take online applications, it's paper applications, and you have to actually go on site to present your application.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So I just thought that was
on site to this building or on site in Madison?
To this building.
Okay. Okay.
So I just thought it was.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
And it just it's a step there, but it's not quite what
it is. And if you know the if it's successful, though, it will
yes.
pave the way for...
Yeah. I said, well, could he live next to somebody who's on staff? And they said, well, they could probably arrange that. Well, they could say that and that...
Yeah, that
yeah.
was yeah.
still,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
too good to be true.
They can't.
Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But then on the other hand, Flatville don't even right now have anything close to that.
No, they don't.
No.
No. They have the Liberty Apartments and Jenner Towers, but... they don't require 24/7, so
no.
At least this is a start.
Yeah,
and, I was excited about it.
Yeah, interesting.
Thank you.
Yep.
6, advocacy reports or activities. Regional board meeting report.
We have the results of the survey that was taken last fall.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll pass them around. You got your copy?
Yeah.
We got some copies made here.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. Here. There you go. And a lot easier to read them. Well, I guess that's my copy.
Same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
I have not had been able to spend any time with this, having just got it from Dale. So I'm hoping that we can put this on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay.
Because overall...
there's some pretty good stuff in it.
There is good stuff
yeah.
on it, but I'm a little disappointed in some of our numbers. So I want to spend a little more time looking at that.
For the most part, Grant County was
yeah,
that.
But I'd like to look at the time frame and see why, because our numbers have come down from the last time we had this done, and I'm curious
yeah.
as to what the time frame was, why. So if
Dave,
we can, I'd like to spend a little more time
this.
And go over it more next meeting.
Back in it here a ways where they go by the years. Do you remember what they said about 2015 being higher than 2018?
No, I don't. They made a comment regarding
yeah.
that. I don't recall what it was. There was
but I can't remember what it was. That may be something that maybe you could check
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I want to because I know we're lower than 2015. And
yeah.
I want to study this a little more because I'm a little disappointed. I literally just glanced at it, so I want to study
but
it a little more.
I think on the other hand, we can be pretty satisfied or proud of the fact that a lot of them were even higher than the
state average.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just like to look at it. Like I said, initially when I'm looking at that, I'm feeling a little disappointed
that it's
done. So
I want to study it a little bit to understand it, you know.
And this way you guys will have some time to look at it too and ask questions. So if we'll, I would like to literally go over it in a little more depth at the next meeting if that's all right with people.
Can I just ask a question? So the previous survey was done in 2015?
Yes. And that one was a phone survey, I believe.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was, and then they got away. They actually kind of got away from the. They decided, I think, not to do the phone survey because we tell people all the time, don't talk to people on the phone that you don't know for sure. And, you know, so we're like, so then the state is calling them and saying, you know, we're calling about the ADRC, and then people get nervous, and so they looked at this phone. So
so there's really no way to compare. 2015.
I don't know. I'm going to, like I said, I haven't had even a chance to look at this.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I apologize. I have not been able to attend the last few regional meetings. I've had some medical things, and I just am not able to drive long distances. So I've not been able to do that. So, yeah, I will take a look at this in a little more depth and find out, and I'd like to go back and dig out the other one and compare it.
So
overall, as a region, we look good. I'm a little disappointed, so I want to make sure that I look at that in depth a little more.
Although, like Dale said, they said that, you know, there was a reason why, but I just don't recall what the reason was.
I can't either.
And I want to look at the time frame, because we've had some staff turnover and things like that that could have impacted that time frame. So I just want to look at that and see how it plays out. So don't want to be reactive. I'd like to actually have some figures and things for you.
Actually, overall response was probably about average, you know, 25%.
If you're lucky to get 30%, you're doing good.
30 is excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there again, you know, we did say again with the surveys, everybody gets surveyed to death. Every time you go to a clinic, they send you a survey. Every time you go to the hospital, they send you a survey. And it's and I'll be honest with you, I don't, unless I've had like incredibly exceptional service that I just think I want to, you know, I don't fill them out unless I'm kind of mad about something.
Well, that's the truth, though.
Well, you know, I had one experience in the hospital this last year on a nurse that I didn't like, and I did comment on the survey on that. So, and I'm like,
Oh, I don't know. The way I look at it, something like that, I've had a couple experiences.
And it's
their job to do a good job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's they should probably be complimented on it, but
I tend to compliment people if in person if they do a good job, but I don't. But when I get that 20 million pieces of junk mail and that survey's in there and I've already worked all day, I'm like, I really don't. And they're never like just short little things. They're like, and God forbid you do put something, then they want more, and it's just like,
I've been getting texts on some things too. You know, they text you, how was your service? Oh, yes, how was your service? And then if you don't answer, then they text you again.
Oh, I haven't got
any texts. Yes, they have just started.
I'm like,
thank you.
I swear if I walk by the clinic, they send me a paper survey about how we're doing. Oh, my gosh.
I get
it every time.
By email now.
All the time, and it just drives me insane.
That's another reason I'm not, don't have all those modern. I guess maybe that's another reason,
You lead a more peaceful life that way.
Yeah,
you just, you know, it is. It's crazy. And
I better the solution. Don't get sick.
That's true.
And I think about the only other thing at the meeting, Aging Advocacy Day is May 14th.
Yep, got that.
Registration will begin February 26th, and the deadline for registrations is April 30th. So
if you're interested in going, let me know.
Where is it at?
It is at the Capitol. So usually it's at, we'll do some, they'll do a little workshop and some things. Last year, well, not last year, the year before, it was like in some senior living place adjacent to downtown.
I might be interested.
So, okay. It's a nice day. It is a nice day. So we meet with Tranel. We meet with Senator Mark Line. So it is,
okay.
It is a good day. So yeah, I will. We'll get something by the next meeting. If you think you might want to go, if you let me know, we'll have time to get you set up. And then the only other thing I would think of is Green County's office open house next week, isn't it? I believe
it is
23rd, 24th,
something in there. Yeah.
So if you're interested in attending it,
we
I will
get a tour.
I will book it up.
Yeah.
We were there. Is very
did
nice.
You?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Looks nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not been able to see it yet. So I'm
it's three stories.
It's three stories?
It's got the basement then, too.
Yeah. Ours is
one
like
more,
an airport. It's just long spread out.
It's like Denver.
It is. It is.
Part of the,
we might need a tram.
Survey that was taken, and I'll just pass it around. It's kind of. Well, it's a little different than the other one, but I'll just pass this around.
This is kind of more demographic information, which is kind of interesting.
I have one, so I'll pass mine around.
Oh, okay.
This perfect. You can pass yours that way.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay.
I
might make a copy of that before you go, too,
okay.
So I can look at that.
I think that's about it.
I just find that completing online surveys, the population that I work with, some of them don't even read. So I don't know how they were going fill out one of these surveys. So,
yeah, and I would agree with that.
And my mother, who's 91, she just got an iPad, so she would not even have access to a computer. So,
yeah. She just got an iPad, though. That's
she did.
Good for her.
Well, things
I hate
always.
iPads. I can't. I'm not a.
She's doing well.
That's great. Good
yeah.
For her. Okay.
I quit.
Okay, Iowa County taxi lease.
Okay, so we are officially almost out of Iowa County. Our vehicle's still over there, so we're not entirely out, but they are running the taxi as of January 1st. As I think I told you back in November, it's been so long. We did work out, they weren't going to have their vehicle they applied for a vehicle and weren't going to have it for a while, so we were working out how they could still use our vehicle. Their vehicle is actually in, it came last week. However, with the state now, you can get your vehicle, but it still takes about 5 to 6 weeks to actually get your vehicle on the road. So once they get through that process, we'll get the vehicle back. So we're really doing a very short-term taxi lease with them. Tom Slaney and I talked a few times. We had tried to come up with a fair price. So what I did was I looked online at what the cost is basically to run a van and then subtracted out the fuel cost and subtracted out some of the basic maintenance costs that they're going to cover anyway. And we settled on a $25 per day cost, which Tom felt was fair enough, and I felt was fair enough. We don't want to gouge them. We're not
right,
trying
yeah.
to, you know. So hopefully, if that works for you guys, that's what we'll
okay.
do. We do have a formal lease. I haven't signed it yet because I told them we needed to run it through here. They will cover, so they'll cover the cost of any oil changes, any regular maintenance to it. And obviously the fuel. If something happens, they've actually got it in this one. If something breaks down, he was actually pretty generous on that they would cover the cost of it. However, depending on what it is, I think we can negotiate. I mean, if it's something that, you know, is on their watch and it's something that happened because of the fact that they were driving it, then yes. If it's, you know, that vehicle's got some problems too, we might negotiate that. But as far as the lease goes, he's willing to cover it. So I think that's, and they will have liability. They already have liability insurance on it. That obviously was a must, and we're listed as the owners. So any issues, do you think? Do you guys have any concerns about that? I mean, it's literally, they're driving it 2 days a week, so probably for about the next 5 weeks, I'm guessing, and then they'll have their paperwork done. So,
well, just an example, if it's regular maintenance, something happened with the brakes, but, you know, they've got all the mileage on them, that we would cover that part of it?
I think the way the lease is they would still cover that. I'm looking like if there would be, like, a major problem, like
transmission
or something.
Like,
I mean, that's not necessarily... just because they've been driving it 2 days a week, it would be, you know, then we'd negotiate it. But like I said, we're, you know, Tom's very willing to work.
Okay.
I really did not want to make it hard for them. So I'm just happy to pass it along.
I guess I was just thinking if there was any neglect on their part, if they didn't do something,
right,
they should have done
right.
That.
That's,
yeah.
And that's spelled out. So yeah, that is spelled out in the lease. So honestly, the way he has the lease, he sent it, it's spelled out that they cover all costs of repairs. I'm just saying if there was something like, you know, the engine blows up or whatever and it wasn't their fault, well,
right,
I'm not going to saddle them with that.
Right.
But then we'd look at it. But no, I thought it was very... very generous on his part as far as that. And like I said, the $25 was just, that was kind of a per mile thing, looking at what they, how many miles they put on it. So we thought that was pretty fair.
We got a job for it if it was here?
Yes. I think once we get it back, we will probably use it as another wheelchair specialized van. You know, we run our own wheelchair van quite a bit, so we'll probably be looking at another driver. I mean, we've talked about some possibilities with Carolyn about even offering a little services on certain days. So I'll talk about that a little bit more in the transportation update. But yeah, I think we can put it to good use. I don't think we'll have any problems there.
Okay.
So would you do a motion on that, though?
Oh, okay.
So to approve that, I would.
So could I have someone have me make a motion for the lease on the Iowa County Taxi?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Joanne, second?
I'll second.
Okay, Carolyn, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it.
And like I said, it should be just a few more weeks. It's the paperwork when you get these vehicles. Well, first of all, you have to wait for the paperwork to get to you, and so that's a week or two. And then you have to fill all this out. Then it goes to the DOT, and then they sit on it for 2 or 3 weeks before the. And you're, it's sort of stunning to me because I'm signing off that how much of it's American made and how it was procured. Well, the state procures it.
Oh,
I don't procure it. So,
yeah.
So they know.
Right.
They procured it. They have all that information, and yet they require us to do it, and then you have to wait.
Yeah.
So it seems
to jump through.
Yeah, it seems a bit silly to me, but whatever.
Southwest Opportunity Center lease?
Yes, so Southwest Opportunity Center has been using, they've had terrible troubles with their buses. They are waiting on a new bus, and Audrey did just follow up with me yesterday because she knows the buses are in, or the buses are, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be delivered till the end of March or the 1st of April, so she was very disappointed in that. And again, you know, depending on when that, if it's March, it's going to be April before that bus is on the road. So they have been using our buses. Now, we have always had a relationship with SOC because originally, back in the day, they wrote the grants and they leased the buses to us. Last year, we kept those, but we transferred all those over. The state wanted now the grantees to have them, so we got the buses, and now they've been in dire need of buses. So we have been loaning them buses for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've seen our buses on the road, it is because of SOC.
Okay.
That being said, they have always helped us out when we've needed a bus or we've had a bus broke down. We've always had that kind of relationship. However, Audrey has asked, since it's going a little longer, whether we should do something a little more formal with the lease. So I did present to her kind of the same lease that we did with the taxi.
Okay.
I haven't heard back from her. I think she's okay with the $25. She was a little worried about the repair costs, obviously, because buses can be a lot more expensive. Again, they're willing to do the regular maintenance and that, and I told her that that was fine, that certainly anything, any major repairs we would negotiate. We have a very good relationship with SOC, so again, I am not the least bit concerned. Like if and Tim is Tim drives for us. He's their main person, bus person over there, and Tim drives for us as well. So I'm very confident if a major breakdown happened and it was something that they did, that they'll be willing to cover the cost of it. But again, I think I will revise that language in there, that we would just, you know, we would take a look at what caused, if there is a major repair, what caused it, and then determine from there who would pay for it. I think it would probably be split between us.
That's
because
split, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you need a motion?
If you're okay with the $25 per day, and if I feel like I need to come back with that lease again, depending on, if you're okay with us negotiating that, I'll talk to Ben about cleaning up that language. It won't be like a, like I would say it, but I'm sure Ben's got some fancy language that can be.
It could just as well tomorrow turn around and be the other way.
That is exactly right. And actually, it was today. Because we had a bus at Pink's this morning that wasn't quite finished. And so we were calling SOC this morning saying we might need to borrow a van. So, yeah, we've always had a very, symbiotic relationship
with them. Not being under that umbrella anymore as far as purchasing, what's that going to do to our grants? Is that going to make any difference?
We can't. The DOT wouldn't let us do it anymore.
Well, that's
they actually said we had to write our own. So, it really, the only thing I think it does is it creates a bigger pool, and they've been a little more selective with that, but they wouldn't let us do it that way anymore. I always found that to be an odd thing, because SOC wrote grants for like Grant County, sometimes Iowa County. I mean, they just did it for different.
Yeah.
But no, now they just require each of us to write our own grant for a bus. So on the one hand, I think it's nicer because I don't have to send, when I do a report, it's my report. I don't have to send it on to Audrey, who then has to come over here. When they released like that, she had to come over and check our maintenance records. That was technically what she was supposed to do. We had to send our reports to her, who then sent them to the state. So now it's a direct line between us and DOT, which I think is actually better. But it just kind of... But you're right. But it does create a bigger pool, so I don't know. It could affect us maybe in getting vehicles, but we're not asking for the world with it right now.
Yeah.
So.
Is
going to
change things.
Yeah, no, they are really hurting for vehicles right now. So it's just like, she said, I finally got it. They were hurting for drivers for so long, and they finally got enough drivers, and then all their buses went down. So that's the joy of running buses.
I'll make a motion to approve the lease with Opportunity Center.
Okay.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nice have it.
Thank you.
Number 9, budget update.
So I did a little spreadsheet last night because I think it's when you're trying to look overall at the 2018 budget, you got that revenue budget, and then you got your expense budget, and you're going back and forth, and I thought that was a little difficult. So I just stuck it up here to save a little paper. Courtney, can I get that? Can I make that bigger?
Bottom right-hand corner, see how it says 100% there?
Yeah.
And you can
slide
that around.
Yeah.
Is that a little better, or... No, that's too big. Yeah, I can't... Whoa!
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not very good at this, clearly. I can't... why does it... It's like it either goes...
Actually, it's smaller now. It's 84%.
Yeah, there you go.
There
that.
You go.
That's better?
That's where you were.
That's where you were.
A little better.
Better.
Okay. I'm going to just go with that because it seems like once I hit that next one, it goes up. So I'll just explain a little bit where we're at and what these numbers mean. I'll fix that one. So overall, we are good. While we look to be a little off in a couple programs, the bottom line is we should be well under the levy budget that we proposed. So that's the good news. So under meals, our revenue right now is $493,885. Our expenses are $764,000. So the levy right now is about 271. That one probably will stay. We do put a lot of levy into our nutrition program. Public awareness, the reason I have that one highlighted, the only way we can use public awareness dollars are for evidence-based programming. Right now, we don't have an evidence-based trainer because, quite frankly, we do so much with the INAs that we can charge Medicaid, and we can't charge it for the evidence base, so we'd actually lose more money with that. So we work with Grant Regional, and they provide our evidence-based programming, but they don't charge us for it, so I can't spend that money out. We do have some powerful tools money that I think is going into that this month, so we'll have some of that spent. So that 4621 is not going to stay with us. It actually just gets absorbed back by GWAR. The benefit specialist position, right now we are waiting for some revenue in that. So right now we've got just about $40,000 in revenue, and our expenses are about $91,512. But I'm expecting that we should get about $9,000 back on that. So that will be closer to what we have budgeted for revenue. Buses, obviously we've saved some money in buses this year because we haven't been running as much, and I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing on that. So we've got $83,000 in funding, and we've spent about $58,000 of that. The advantage with the bus, with the 8521, is we do have the ability to put that into a trust fund. I found some good news out yesterday on that as well, but I'll tell you about in a minute. Specialized, we're running a little high on right now. We've got $21,239 in revenue and $28,977 our total expenses. So we're running a little over in that, but we also are expecting some revenue to come in on that. We don't have all of our Inclusa Care Wisconsin revenue back on that. And so we'll probably only be short on that. I think I have about $3,000 that I'm expecting on that. Part of the problem we're over in, we budgeted about $25,000 for that. Part of it is we've got about $3,700, I think, in repairs on that one. That vehicle went down and it was pretty major a couple of times. So that's where the expenses were. We went over. Excuse me. Taxi, we've got about $54,261 in revenue. We're running at $58,744. That's pretty typical. We're pretty much right on budget there. Dodgeville Taxi, $16,159, $24,538 in expenses. Again, we're over in expenses there, again, because we had about $3,000 in vehicle repairs on that one. Trips, again, we're running pretty good as far as revenue on that. We do have some revenue out. I think we're still probably short about $5,000 on that, just because that's all done through the billing system, so we should be looking for that a little bit more. Caregivers, $25,000 is what we always get out of the OAA funds on that. We stay pretty close to budget on that, so that's about right. So overall, in ADRC, we're coming in. We should come in about right on the money on ADRC. And the budget, when you look at it, you're going to see we've got about $455,000, I think, in expenses. However, because Iowa County and Lafayette County provided services for our DBS while we were off, we did transfer. We paid for their local wages. So there is about $10,000 in expenses that are shared among the region and those. So that will make us come in on budget. One of the things that I questioned the DOT this week, because we've had some vehicle repairs, some significant ones, and we've got a very healthy trust fund that is technically over more than we can have. Our trust fund needs to be no more than $80,000, and it should be spent within 3 years, and we're sitting at about $93,000 right now for some various reasons we didn't spend out last year. So I have, I spoke with DOT to see if we can take some of those vehicle repairs out, and we can. Unfortunately, we can't take the Dodgeville taxi out because that was not a 5310 vehicle. It wasn't purchased with grant funds, and it's through the 5311 program. But we can take our bus, we can take our specialized out of there. So I'm thinking we'll have about $4,500 in vehicle repairs that we can move to the trust fund. What I also found out when I called DOT, which I kind of got a little excited about, was that we could take out computer and or furniture expenses. And we just happened to have furniture expenses. So,
where does the money come from, trust?
The trust is, so what they do is you get so much money. They look at your demographics in your county, and they determine how much you'll get for your 8521 program. So we...
Okay.
So we get, I think this year it's like $123,729. The county has to, in order to get the money, the county has to provide 20% share, a local share. However, many counties, and we've been one of them in the last few years because of our bus driver situations, if you do not spend all your money, you have the opportunity to take that money and put it into the vehicle trust. So what they want you to do, basically, is if you're not able to spend it all out, you can build up your vehicle trust. You know, that way you don't necessarily have to purchase a vehicle through the grant process. You can actually get a vehicle through your own. And that is our intent. We did want to get a vehicle, and originally we were going to get one last year, but then with all of our bus driver problems, we just kind of pulled back because we weren't sure exactly what we wanted. So DOT is very aware that we're okay. Over. But John has also told me that DOT is working on some policy language, which is going to probably state at some point if you go over that 80,000, they're probably not going to let you do that. So we want to get that money spent down. So two things we've been looking at was another vehicle. Also the possibility, there's been talk of possibly building some kind of additional building storage for vehicles out here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we have talked with DOT about that, and depending on how many vehicles we have in there, we could use a portion of the vehicle trust to help towards the purchase of that building. which would ultimately benefit us. So what I didn't know was the furniture and the computers. And we've already used, we did have some flexibility in our ADRC budget, so we used some of that for furniture. So we've already taken our building furniture budget down that way. I think, I want to say $10,000 on the regular furniture budget. And then we had some, we were able to purchase the LTE furniture. So this one, we've got about I actually thought I'd remember it, but you know how that goes. Between $3,000 and $4,000, I think. I think it's right around $3,500 for some furniture and equipment. So we'll be able to get that out, which will take away county levy money as well. So that's a win for me. Mm-hmm. So I was teasing John. I said, "Well, I'm so glad I called you because I don't think I'd have gotten that out of an email from you." And I said, So that was good news. So we'll be able to do that right away. We've already got an invoice, and it's dated for 2018. So we can go back and use that money. So that's a win. And DOT's happy because we're knocking down our trust fund a little bit. So that was good news. So if you look at that, we'll be able to move that. Again, there's the money. We're still expecting for Dodgeville Taxi a little bit of money. That $49.64 is coming from the city and counties. We always bill them after the fact. So I think we'll run pretty much even on the Dodgeville Taxi when all is said and done, the way we shift some money around. Taxis, I'm still expecting some revenue there. We're just putting in our fourth quarter expenses. So we'll should be getting about another $7,800 out of that. We're still short on $1,300 from Boscobel, hasn't submitted their local share for the Grant County Taxi. For the Grant County Taxi, Lancaster, Fenimore, and Boscobel all contribute money to it. And then $5,000 for trips, another $2,000 for specialized, and I think around $9,000 for BenSpec. The BenSpec program is the one program that we're a little concerned. We don't get the revenue, the Medicaid revenue, and it's mostly because INAs handle almost everything. Medicaid, Marcia does now much more Medicare stuff than she does Medicaid, and that is simply just because of the creation of the ADRCs. But because of that, we have to watch that funding. So, so I may be back with you on that a little bit. So overall, our budget for the county levy was $353,301, and I think if right now we're that $337,000 I had was where we were sitting, but then I took the public awareness money out of there. So we're at $341,000, but if you add back in that revenue, potential revenue that we're going to get, we should be way under budget for that overall. So I think we'll be sitting pretty good. So I'm fairly happy with that. So does that make sense to everybody? Do you get a feel for where we're at? I just think it's really hard when you have to look at those two revenue and expense budgets and go back and forth and try to figure out where we're sitting. So, expense sheets, if you do want to look at those, though, if you've got any questions between the revenue and the expense reports, let me know. Like I said, we did charge out furniture to the ADRC budget. So at least about half or close to half, I think, of our furniture budget for the new building was covered. So mm-hmm. Kind of happy about that. So
the federal situation today, is that affecting any of that income?
It is not. We have not had any effects from it for the most part. I do not, typically our payments from GWAR, which they do receive payments from the feds, are not very timely anyway, so it's hard to say whether we're going to be affected. We just got our October payment,
yep.
From GWAR, so we're still waiting 2 months on reimbursement, so it may delay us a little bit, but I think the last time last year we were delayed quite a bit,
yeah.
And there was no shutdown. So I know they're, I've not received any communication that says otherwise. So they've put out some communication on the food share program and things like that. But and they're still going to have those February payments. So as this drags on, if it does drag on, it may affect us. But right now, so far, we haven't seen any effect from it. So. It's a good thing. Any questions on the... I guess I kind of skipped down to the financial report, so we can come back to that. But so while you're looking at it, I can give you a transportation update. So transportation update. You know our troubles with bus drivers, and in the past we've always hired a full-time bus driver with benefits. Which you think would be more appealing, but we tend to have people, our last two have kind of come in, got some experience, and moved on. So we looked at trying to do some other things, and we advertised a little bit differently. We just advertised, if you're available a few days a week, if you're available a few days a month, are you interested, can we get something? We didn't get a ton, but we did get one in particularly good one, and that was Kathy Hottenstein. So Kathy drives bus. She's a former police officer. She drives bus for the Platteville School District, and she is driving for us on now Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. She's considering some other things in the future. We may get her more hours in the future. If we do, we'll come back to you on that. But right now, at least we've got a bus driver in place, and we're doing some routes, which is really nice. We have changed up our routes a little bit for the bus. In the past, those routes were much longer. They were much longer days because it involved the meal site, and lots of times some of the first riders were getting on at 8 or 8:30 and they weren't getting home till like 4:30 in the afternoon, which I have always felt was a bit too long. I mean, we have 90-year-old riders, so that's a long day. So what we are doing is our first pickup is at 8:30. They typically leave the destination by 1:30, and are back home by usually 1:32, somewhere in there. So it is a shortened day. We're focusing simply, I think our tagline now is, it's our errands, et cetera, route. So you can, you get about three destinations. That's kind of where we're looking at. So if you want to do Walmart, Dollar Tree, and Menards, you can, or if you want to do a lunch stop in there. But in the past, again, there was kind of a, everybody had to stop for lunch, and it just, we lost riders that way. Now, I'll be honest with you, we'll lose some numbers in our meals that way, too, but I don't feel like the bus program really should necessarily be subsidizing the nutrition program either, so... So it's been going good. They like her. The nice thing, I think, with Kathy's experience is that she has the ability to diffuse some of the situations that arise on the bus because we serve, you know, a variety of people, and sometimes, you know, tempers can flare. So she's got the ability to help them kind of problem solve, you know, if somebody really didn't want to go to Culver's because they really wanted to go to Dairy Queen. How to make that work. So that has worked. One of the things we were excited about this week was we offered a Cassville route. We've not offered any bus routes from the Cassville area. We've taken people to Cassville, but we haven't had any out of Cassville. And we had a lady call in a few weeks ago and say, you know, she'd be interested. And Mariah said, well, if you could get a few more riders, we'd really consider a route. Well, she came up like with 7.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the same day.
She yeah. So we're like, yeah, we're going to do one. So on Monday, they went. I don't think we had all 7. I think we had 6 maybe.
Yeah.
But they're all excited, and they're going to go get a whole bunch more, and we might need a bigger bus. So. So it was really nice. Kathy said they were very excited. They all were kind of dressed up and had their hair done, and they were just really excited to go out. And so she took them to Platteville, and they did their 3 stops and came back. And it seemed to work very good. So we were thinking we'll probably be doing like a Platteville route with them. I think, I don't know, I don't know what Mariah's plans are quite yet. We'll look at the frequency and then maybe a Prairie route. So we'll be doing some of that. And then Boscobel offering maybe a Richland Center, a Prairie, or a Platteville. We're hoping to get one kind of in the Montfort, Livingston area in there. We've always done a south route, and we've always done a north route. So we're kind of working those out within her 3 days. We're still looking for a couple other drivers that might be willing to work a little bit. I had talked a few months ago with some SOC drivers who drive for them during the day but might be able to drive for us in the evenings once in a while. So our hope is that we can offer... probably more so in the summer months than in the winter months, just because of the ease in getting out, is offer some more of those community events. So when there's a parade or there's just something going on that's more of a community thing, that we can maybe offer either the wheelchair van and just pick up and take people to in smaller numbers, or offer a bus route to there if need be. So we'd like people, they need to get to their Walmarts and things like that, but we'd like them to be connected to their community too and offer some of that. So that's kind of where we're trying to head to. We'll see how well it goes. I had John survey some of his riders in Boscobel and Fenimore because we only offer half days there. And whether we should change that to a full day, 1 day a week versus the half day. And it was very much no to that. They really like the fact that they're there 2 days a week, even if it is a half day. So we will be staying with that for now. Maybe at some point we can look at that. But right now, his regular riders were really wanting that both days. Specialized, again, we're staying with that. When I say specialized, that's our wheelchair van. So the wheelchair van is for those people that, you know, have to have that wheelchair access. And typically what we do on that, we do have one rider that we pick up regularly for SOC. They pay for that out of an IRIS budget because they just don't want him transported on the bigger buses. So that's kind of a regular route for us. And then a lot of the other ones are things like maybe funerals and things like that. That does cost more, so it's a little more cost prohibitive for people. But if you truly want to get somebody and you don't have that access, you know, we do that. So and we're trying to keep that cost down, but that is $15 an hour. And then the IRS rate for the mileage. So it is a little more cost prohibitive for people, but most people can afford it in a situation where they just need to get somebody for a few hours. What was I going to say? Oh, the one thing with the buses, again, one of the things we used to do with the buses was we charged the $3 for the bus route, and then we were charging the 50 cents for the additional destinations. However, you know, they're all pretty much right out there, and that fumbling around with 50 cents is just more of a hassle for my bus driver than anything. So right now, we're looking at just charging the straight $3. We're not paying health insurance for anybody right now, so I think we've got that. And honestly, it's probably more of a hassle to be making sure that, okay, I dropped you at Menards, did you give me the extra 50? So unless you guys have some real concerns about that, I think we're going to drop that for now. Eventually, you know, if we think we're losing money on that at something in the future, we might charge $3.50 for the entire ride. But the destination thing for that one is just a little fussy. And again, we're trying to get people on those buses and kind of reestablish our programming. So I think that if they think they saved $1, now they're kind of more excited about that. So,
how many buses do you have?
We have three bigger buses and then the baby bus, the little bus. Mm-hmm. And we are just using the little bus right now for the most part, although I think in Cassville we might have to bump up because they are going everywhere to post this. Kathy, one day, it was a day that we didn't have riders, so she went out and hung some flyers up and went to the senior housing in different places. But this Cassville group, they're pretty excited, so I expect that we may have to bump up to a bigger bus with them. But no, we're staying kind of with a smaller bus. And my thoughts are we'll get another smaller bus because for some of these community events, it's easier to get a driver that's not CDL,
yeah,
than they can,
yeah,
drive that,
yeah,
smaller bus versus a CDL,
yeah,
one. You know, it's just CDL drivers are just at a premium right now. Everybody needs them. So the other thing that I did want to bring up, and may cause us to have another meeting if I need to crunch some numbers a little more on it, is when we pulled out of when we pulled Dodgeville out, I did speak with Chad Ryder from DOT, and he had wondered whether we wanted to continue with the 5311 program, which is a federal transit program, or try to run everything out of our 8521, which I hadn't really thought about. So I told him we would give that some thought, but we did apply for the 5311 grant. So I'll tell you that we still apply for it. And he said we probably would have until maybe the end of February to make a decision on that. So I'm kind of looking at the pros and cons of that. The pro is definitely it's the federal transit runs different than the 8521. There's more rules. It's a different drug testing pool. It's all of that. In speaking with Nancy, it's like, well, anytime you can eliminate something, it's not a bad thing because there's a lot of paperwork involved and things like that. Originally, when I sat down, I thought, oh, I think we could actually do this. But that was like in a hurry on that day because I thought Chad was like, looked like I was getting ready to submit the grant, and I thought maybe we were going to have to decide. And then after further exploration, I found out, no, we didn't. So I kind of set it aside. So I'm going to really sit down and look at that and just see if it's beneficial to us or not. I'm not sure that maybe we'll do it this year, but maybe consider it in the future. Again, it would simplify things. It's less reports, it's less drug testing. Their drug testing is quite a bit different. Where the county handles our bus driver drug testing for the most part, we have to have a separate one for our taxi drivers because of the federal transit rules. So there are definitely some pros and cons to it. So we'll take a look at it. Right now, the 8521 puts $15,289 into our taxi program. So it would be rather whether we could run it all out of there. So I don't know. I got to look at it a little bit further. I know he discouraged Iowa County, and Iowa County didn't apply for 5311. He discouraged them from doing it because they said for the smaller grants, the amount of money and the paperwork, I think that was more on their end than on Iowa County's end, but that was my feeling. But so I will actually, you know, probably if I think we need to have something in February by then, I'll have it all written up and take a look at it. But I kind of think, I don't know, I think maybe this year we'll stick with 5311 and then see how our bus program fleshes out. Because right now we're still in the initial stages of kind of revamping that whole bus program. So I hate to commit to something and then our bus program blows up and we need a lot more money and don't have it. So any thoughts on that? Any?
So you're going to pull that information together, and then
yeah.
If you want us to meet, you'd let us know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. My guess, like I said, my guess is that we'll probably go through with it this year and maybe make a decision. I mean, they can't tell us we can't apply, so.
Right.
They can encourage it, but they can't tell us we can't. Right. So, I mean, we're entitled to it. We've been in there for a long time, so. We really have to look at it in terms of, could we save? Is it, you know, how is it going to cost us a significant amount more, or could we do it? But I'm just, with the bus program the way it is right now, Kathy's doing a great job of, you know, getting more people on there. So, and if we would get another driver that could take on a couple additional days, then I don't know that I want to, you know, I'd like to have that money for the bus too. So at this point, we'll see. But, just putting it out there so that you know, and I'll have some more conversations with DOT about it. So I think just DOT is, it's easier for them if with those smaller grants that they don't have them. So. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have the money.
Any other questions?
So that's the transportation update. Things are looking up, but we're getting there. Except for this morning.
The vouchers, has everybody had the opportunity to look at the vouchers? Are there any questions or concerns on that?
So probably any of the bigger things would be that there may be some, is the furniture in there somewhere? And I don't think I have my AP. Mine must be sitting up over here.
I don't think the furniture
is in there.
Is in there yet. Okay. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, that probably isn't coming through ours because Nancy is doing that herself through the county. So,
how is the situation and money situation and number of chairs and everything you got getting got?
Good. Like I said, we're able, like I've got ADRC to cover the furniture for the INA offices and the DBS offices. So that was, I think, around 10,000. So we should be fine with that because we're actually, because we've, you know, the county approved the entire budget, but as long as we had money, I see no reason why not to pay for it because that's a cost reimbursement for us. And Mary Mesro was very supportive of that, so we went ahead and did that. So, we actually will have a fair amount of our offices will be covered by already paid for this year, so that'll be nice. Because our copy machine might go, so we've been having some conversations with Shane. Our copy machine is pretty old. And moving copy machines is
might be the death of
risky business, yeah. Even though it doesn't have to go very far, it might not survive. So we were trying to get as much out of that budget as possible, too, in case our copy. But I was thinking at the time that a copy machine was going to run us around $13,000, and it's actually, Shane's looking at, what, we say 7 or 8 maybe? So
yeah,
it's a lot less than I thought. Yeah. They've become much more reasonable than in the last time I bought a copy machine. So, we are actually sitting good with that, I think. And the fact that we can now get the drivers offices, the transportation office, out of the trust fund, that's even better. So I told John, thank you for that. I said, that'll make me look good. So he said that was his main goal most of the time. But I was not aware. There isn't a whole lot of guidelines on that trust fund sometimes, so I'm always asking questions on it. And so I was happy to hear that. So we will be looking when the state does their procurement to get that new bus out of there, or accessible van. I kind of like it to be more van-like than bus-like, but we're kind of at the mercy of the state. So yeah, we should be... We should be good on that.
So any other questions on the voucher show? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. I'll second.
And Joanne, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Financial reports. Everybody have an opportunity to
So that is the end of the year 2018 that I presented up there, just so you didn't have to look at both. But if you want to look it over a little bit, we will.
This includes the furniture, but for vouchers.
This one does include the furniture, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so if you look at that ADRC budget, you'll see some big costs in capital outlay there. I should point out that this is the first year, too. I think this is the first year we did the indirect cost allocation,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the other thing we did this year in the budget that we haven't done in past years was we charged out admin costs. All the other counties in the region for ADRC have always charged out admin costs, and Grant County never did, for us anyway. So Nancy and I had a few conversations about that. So this year, county did charge out indirect cost allocations. So that actually recoups. So if you look at it, doesn't recoup it in all of ours, because obviously in some of ours there's enough levy put in that it's a wash. But in the ADRC budget, which is a cost reimbursement, we actually get back some admin costs in that. So the direct allocation is 22,458. So the county recoups 22,000 back in that grant. So not a bad thing. We have a couple other little journal entries we just have to do to clean up a couple things. We've still got some money left in our Elderfest budget. That technically should go back to ADRC, because we charged a lot of Elderfest to ADRC. I think next year we won't even have a separate line item for Elderfest, because most of it can be charged out to ADRC. So we'll need to clean that up, and I think we need to...
Wages and...
Wages are good. I think we're... And we got to get your regional per diem out of there. For some reason, they had a problem with your regional per diem, so we're going to take that on. So
okay, I was going to ask you if I could meet with you after the
meeting
to discuss.
So that wasn't a big deal. I don't know what the holdup was at Green County, but Nancy said she processed it.
Dave definitely, I think, got problems over there, because I think I waited 6 months before I got anything.
Well, I don't know what the, I know. I just know that Mary said, "Can you guys do it?" So Nancy said she'd run it through. So it's not a big deal.
Okay.
It'll come out just fine. I think it'll be charged to ours, but it'll come out of the regional budget when they all do the.
Mm-hmm. So any other questions in regards to the financial report? If not, they have a motion to approve it.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Arnold makes a motion to approve it. Second?
Okay.
Neil, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Reports? ADRC?
All right.
Grant County Director's Report.
December is usually my transportation month by far, because we have both the 5311 grant and 8521 grants are due, and then we've got fourth quarter reports that come due, and annual reports that come due, and 20 million different things. And I see I really did a good job of that. We were working, you know, with Iowa County to make that transition to the taxi over to them. Kathy was hired. We are re-advertising our office position, office assistant position. We had a great deal of applications. Most of them had no information on them. We did the county does advertise on Indeed, and that did not suit us well this time because literally they put in their name and about their phone number, and that was it. We had no information. So, and of the apps we did, there were some challenges there. So we did interview
three.
We had one decline, mm-hmm. or two decline, I think, actually.
Two, yeah.
Changed their minds, and we interviewed three. And we just didn't come out of there confident that we had. So we are, we will be re-advertising that, but Mariah and Courtney and I have been trying to figure out just whether we need to reorganize that or look at that. We know we've got some changes possibly in retirements coming this summer, so we're trying to figure out just exactly what we want that to look like. So, so anything major, we will come back to you with. If it's a big reorganization, we obviously have to get approval for it. But we're just trying. We're literally trying to brainstorm where we should advertise it, how we should advertise it, what the ad should look like, and maybe attract some people that might not have thought they were looking for a part-time job, but would, because the employment pool is a little slim right now in terms of qualifications for qualified. And because it's a part-time position without any benefits, it just doesn't lend itself to, you know, some real quality apps. So that's a bit challenging for us. So thank you very much to Courtney and Mariah, because they're really the ones filling in and doing the extra work on that position. And so I do want to get something in place. We've even considered an LTE, trying to just get by with an LTE until we maybe could come up with a different plan, but so far our planning is we come up with a lot of roadblocks. So that's where we're at with that. Did finish up annual evaluations before the end of the year. Barely. I'll be honest with you. We did have the Martin Schreiber event in December 5th in Bosqueville. I was a little disappointed in our turnout. We'd done some major advertising. Our two partners, the only turnout we had was based on people that we had. Pam was there and Arnold, and you can speak to that in a second. Our partners, who had guaranteed me so many people, didn't have any, nor did they come, and I was not very happy. That was Bosqueville Gunderson and Bosqueville Pharmacy. Michelle did come after the event was over.
I saw her walking toward there when it was over.
In Michelle's defense from Bosqueville Pharmacy, she literally had been out of state until the day before. But they had both guaranteed me at least probably 10 to 15 people.
And really?
Yeah, we had hardly anybody there.
So I was a little disappointed.
Yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
And he did an excellent job.
Oh, he was funny, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
He's such an entertaining speaker that it was, he was very good. And really, I think, insightful in that, too. So
I think so, too. And I read his book afterwards. I got his
book. And we did purchase some books, so if anybody would like to read his book, I'd be happy to loan one out to you, and you can,
read it. It's interesting to see his viewpoint of how he started out when she had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
How he did everything wrong. He just,
oh, really?
And then he realized he had to be where she was, not where he thought she should be. And that's what I see with my friend with Alzheimer's, our friend. Her brother is telling her what to do and what she should think.
And that's not her reality.
His wife was wanting to put on two coats, or one coat, and you can't contradict them. You have to go along what they want to do. And in his case, he gave her a sweater, another coat to put on.
Yeah.
And that seems to satisfy him, doesn't it?
Yeah. And he said he had to be where the second Elaine was.
Yeah.
And what? And I always.
And if she wants to drink wine at 9 in the morning, is
because
in her reality, it's not 9 in the morning. So
no. And
is it really going to make a big deal?
And where he said that one day she said she was feeling sad, and he said, Elaine, why are you so sad? And she said, because I think I love you more than my husband. But he said, you know, she loved me, and that
he has
the
a fine humor
thing.
In that.
Oh,
he
it is hilarious.
He,
he is, and he
funny?
Is very funny. Yeah, he
with our friend Caroline, with kept asking her social security, and what was your social security number?
Yeah. Yeah, he is very funny. I mean, because it is a pretty heavy subject, and I think the people that were there, there was almost everybody stayed after and. Not only talked to him, but talked to the our dementia care specialist was there.
Yeah,
a few of the people there engaged in conversation with them, as well as Bonnie Nuttenson was there from the Alzheimer's Association. And so I think there was some really good connections there, because there were definitely some people there in the audience that had people, you know, that were people dealing with dementia and their families. And so, I mean, I was glad for that. I think they connected with some really good resources, because he had to get back to Milwaukee yet for another thing, and people were still wanting to engage him. So, but he is. He's very easily engaged.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just funny.
Yeah.
And,
and you saw Caroline and I on the front page of the Dial. Did you see that? I knew that was going to happen.
The Dial really did a nice article
a nice
on
job?
It. We did have some Dial coverage, but like I said, I was a little disappointed. I actually called both partners before and said, where are you? It really was. Because ultimately it was the partners that wanted the event. It wasn't set up just by me. It was set up because of the Dementia Initiative. They're the ones who wanted this big kickoff event. So then we did it, and then they didn't send anybody. So I was not very
I think most of the people that received meals there, they stayed, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. I think the people that were there, I can think of at least three that really talked up our dementia care specialist with some concerns about somebody they had. So I think the people that were there definitely benefited from it. And like I said, he was entertaining. And it wasn't like it was 2 hours of listening to somebody talk about dementia. I mean, you know.
He never had a note in front of me.
No, he didn't.
Right
no, he
right
didn't. No, he didn't. He was funny. He was very good. And I'd seen him before, and I still enjoyed listening to him. He's just a good speaker. So, yeah, if you ever get the chance to hear him, but if you'd like me to loan you out a book, I'd be happy to do so. So, and I have him here today.
Yeah,
so
looks good.
I think he's very good. But all right.
Okay. Program report.
Program reports. You can take a look at elder benefits. Obviously, we've still got some numbers because of Part D season that need to be put in there. I know that Linda's been working on those. I think you'll see a decline in our disability benefit specialists from last year. I don't have those, but they are down a little bit. But, you know, obviously with Angela leaving, we had in some of those cases. I think are being counted in Iowa County. I'm not sure Nikki put ours in. So we actually had Nikki and Ann from Iowa County and Lafayette County taking over many of our cases. So people didn't have any of the issues. So one of the things, if you look at encounter contacts under information and assistance, I don't have my averages on there, but Grant County is doing a lot more encounter contacts than the other counties, by far, in my opinion. We do quite a few more. And I did have the averages on. I'll bring that to you the next time. I wonder if I can... I wonder if I might be able to pull that right up in the G drive, because I think it's on there. Let me see if I can look at that just very quickly, because I think I had it on there. I was trying to do some comparison on that, because I think staff don't always get recognized for just how much they are doing. Okay, so why... can't see very well today, apparently. if you look at the average region for encounter contacts is 378. We typically, June, July, 477, 555, 483, 493, 459. So we are, our three are doing quite a bit more in regards to that. So I can't see what the other one is. I got that pulled over now. So we're just kind of monitoring that for right now. The number of information and assistance, that's the second, is 250. If you look at our numbers again, for the most part, we're well over that. So, functional screens, let's see, what did those come out at? I think those were not as much. Functional screens were at 37. And again, if you look at some of those numbers. So for the most part, we've got some hard workers in our information and assistance specialists. We get a lot of walk-ins, I think, more than other counties. Obviously, part of it is we just have a much bigger county. You know, with a population of 51,000, we're going to have a lot more people. But that's something I think that we need to watch for in terms of the region. How we're going to divvy that out sometimes, because sometimes I think maybe we need to look at that where overall programming is in terms of INA, so, or whether we can pull other counties into that, which we've got like a maternity leave coming up with Nicole in April, so with those kind of numbers we're going to need some help from another county most likely. So but there's some definitely significant some things there. So I just wanted to make you aware of that, that we have a lot of hard workers there that are doing quite a bit. So
I didn't see it on this. You used to track the number of referrals made to the different family care programs or IRS or something like that.
If you look at,
or is it
enrollment counseling would be mostly those. Enrollment counseling would be because we don't refer to IRIS, we enroll. So,
okay.
So yeah. So 244 people were enrolled
in
long-term care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So why would November and December be so low?
Typically over the holidays we don't see, and then we see an uptick after the holidays, after people have been home, and then they get a little nervous that mom and dad aren't doing as good as they thought they were. Then we see a little uptick back in it. But usually that between Thanksgiving and like through New Year's, we don't see as many people in and out because people are just kind of busy and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's usually the case. And the complaints and advocacy one are oftentimes there when people call in. Oftentimes when people have a problem like with their family care provider, they really don't know who to complain to. So they call in and talk to us, and then we kind of help them through that process. So and sometimes we have to advocate for them as well. A typical one is when the family providers lately, like they discontinue meals for somebody. They don't want them to get home delivered meals anymore. Because they're doing better. it's probably a reason why they're doing better. And then we will kind of work out that process with them that, you know, you do have the right to appeal and talk about that. So that's where the complaints come into and that advocacy that we provide. So the other thing with the program report and transportation, we don't have all the bus transports in here. I didn't point out in that, but with SOC using our buses, we are able to report and have to report their statistics within ours because they're actually still picking up eligible people. So Audrey was going to have those to me by the end of the week. So those are not reflective in our bus numbers. We do have to put those in. So it is actually to our advantage to kind of have them using our buses for a couple of reasons, because number one, buses are better when they run. They're not good when they sit. Dale could probably attest to that. And the other thing is we do at least get some statistics out of it and some number of rides, we're still providing some service. So, but if you look at, you know, 3,383 rides were provided to people, mostly that would under the TRIPS program, mostly for medical appointments. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. So,
yeah, you wonder what these people would do if they didn't have it.
Honestly, and we could still use more people to provide those rides. But Mariah does a great job coordinating that. Courtney picks up the slack when Mariah's off, and I mean, we get phone calls literally every day. So,
multiple.
Yeah. And sometimes the one day I was covering the phones for a little bit, we got a lady, and she's like, "We really need a ride. He has to have an MRI, and we really need a ride." And I said, "Okay, you know, when is the MRI?" "Well, I don't know, but I need to know that I'll have a ride. Kind of need to have a date, and then we'll work on a ride for you." But that's, you know, that's the anxiety people feel, that they, you know, they know they don't want to drive to Madison, and I don't blame them. It's it's getting more and more congested up there, and you know, so. Yeah, she's like, "But can you give me a ride?" And I said, "Well, I can't make any guarantees until you give me a date." But, and then Mariah came in on Monday, and she called right away. And so they wouldn't confirm that I had a rider. Well, I didn't have a date. So, but yeah, it's people get nervous about that. So our volunteer drivers are wonderful. And if you know anybody in the Lancaster area, Dave, we are really in need of some home delivery drivers in Lancaster. We've got, I think Ruth just told me this morning, we've got 36 home delivered meals out of Lancaster right now. And it's kind of taxing us. Yeah.
Talking about home delivered meals, how's that outside outfit? Has anything been done there yet?
We have not.
That?
You know, Ruth and I... because of some of my medical issues, I struggled to get those packages open. And I'm thinking, and then in further conversation with the state, there's some issues on whether they're going to meet our nutrition. So we're still trying to seek out and work with Jean from GWAR on how to do that. It's just so hard to find something. I mean, I literally, on a couple of those meals, couldn't get packaging open. I mean, I have a bad shoulder and everything, but if I can't get them open, you know. So we are still trying to talk with the state about that. I mean, it's on our goal list, so we've got to do something. It's definite need, but I don't know. So, yeah, we will continue to work on that. You know, we thought about just trying it. We did send them out to a few meals, and we got not so glowing reviews back from some of our seniors that tried them. Ivan was like, "They were awful." Well, I didn't think they were awful. You tried them. I said, "I think they're hit and miss, you know." But I think he is one of our regulars that eats at a congregate, and it's our basketball congregate, so it's homemade food. And so, yeah, compared to that, they probably were awful, but you know.
Is there any way that take a place like Boscobel that you could kind of, well, you'd have to start up a new line probably of putting together frozen meals like that just for that purpose?
We have talked about, we actually talked with Southwest Tech about it, and we also talked with Grant Regional about it. Grant Regional doesn't have the ability to do it, and Southwest Tech declined right now. But there again, you still have to seal those somehow, and that's where the struggle comes into play. That is something that we are trying to figure out as well. The nutrition program has increased our requirements in terms of, they've added a food item. We have to have beans all the time. We are getting major complaints about too much food. Too many beans. Too much people, and it isn't just our seniors. It's everywhere in the state, and So that's putting a little more pressure on us, too, for those frozen meals, because some of that stuff doesn't, you know, the vegetables that they want don't necessarily lend themselves to being frozen.
Yeah.
So. And before, and I forgot to include it on this program report, but we did have the assessment. Our assessment went really well, but because of the new requirements, now when we're, so typically you have to have so many requirements within the week, you have to meet one-third of the daily nutritional needs, but now they've actually gone above that, because I swear to God we're serving beans every time we turn around. And they don't really like that well, but whatever. But now if we only serve 3 days a week, we have to make sure that everything gets into the 3 days a week. Everything has to be analyzed. Honestly, our poor nutritionist, we contract with Tracy Ackerman at Grant Regional, and she's about fit to be tied. It is just, they have just gone overboard on this nutrition analyzation, and it's, yeah. So now we have to make sure. And, you know, we have 2-day-a-week programs. We have 1-day-a-week program. We have 3-day-a-week programs. We have 1 4-day-a-week program. We have 5-day-a-week program. So it's a nightmare. So I get that you want it to be one-third, but I think they've just gone a little more overboard than they need to. Because the feds, some of the stuff that they're requiring is just Wisconsin requirements. It's not a federal requirement. So. And that's coming from out of DHS. So, and I think the next director's meeting, there's been a lot of vocal directors about it. So I think the next director's meeting is going to be devoted to relaying those concerns to the state. Because we literally have people that are not happy about the amount of food. It's too much food for them. And it's too much beans. And that's, you know, people, and their requirements, like, I don't know, do a lot of you, like, have just lentil beans on their own? No.
No, like in a soup or something.
Yeah, it's, some of it is just so, it just feels, to Ruth and I, very unrealistic that, how much beans can one person eat in a week? And some of the other stuff, you know, even, I don't think they understand the chewing challenges of older people sometimes. They don't, you know, salad doesn't always work well for people, for older people, when they get into their, like, 90s and they have dentures and things like that. There's just some other things that are like, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But, yes, the frozen food process thing does have to be worked out, so... You got any good ideas? You wanna be our frozen food driver? We're only gonna see more. I mean, if you look at our numbers, our congregate numbers are diminishing, and it's our home delivered that are increasing, and that's gonna continue.
Sure.
We lost a significant number when we moved to O.A. Gray in Platteville. That actually
really
and I think for two reasons. I think some of them didn't like the site, but I think the busing, there were some different things there. But we have, our Platteville numbers have declined.
Huh.
Yeah. But overall, statewide, congregate are declining, and it's the home delivered that are increasing. So, and what's typically happening is the clients that have been on, the older ones, 80, 90s, they're going in, so they might have been congregate. And we lost a significant number. We had a significant number of... seniors that passed away this year, but so as they're transitioning, they go to home delivered. But in the past, we picked up more. Where now the baby boomers aren't, we're not picking up those baby boomers at the congregate site because half of them are still working. So you know, so
I don't know why O.A. Gray would be such a.
I think part of it was their busing, I think, did us in for a while there, because they bused a fair amount of people, and then when they went to that van, people couldn't do that. So I think there was some issues there, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's we've definitely seen some significant. But we have also seen some in Boscobel as well. Our two biggest sites are Platteville and Boscobel. Both those congregant numbers have diminished. And again, that's a statewide thing. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a common thing and going down.
Yeah.
But
the fact that the home delivered's going up, that's why that frozen meal thing, or we have to figure out how we're going to get to those isolated people. Because people want to stay at home, but not everybody lives in town, so.
Did the city supplement that place where they moved to? Do they?
No.
They don't get any support?
So. Mm-hmm.
They don't?
They do a lot of
fundraisers. I shouldn't say they don't supplement. I don't know their Commission on Aging. I think there is maybe still some city money in there. Do you know, Carolyn,
I don't know
for sure?
If does the manager get through?
Because the city rec director is the one overseeing it, so there still has to be some city money in there.
Yes, we.
So, and I, to my knowledge, has that building been sold?
I think it has been.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah. I can't tell you to whom or what they're using it for.
Chiropractor or a business office or something.
I mean, O.E. Gray is nice. I'm not condoning. I'm not condemning O.E. Gray at all. I think there are a number of seniors that are going
sure.
there. But I think the transition period cost us some meals and that, you know, the busing and things like that. And I'll take the blame on some of that because we had busing issues there too. So I think that cost us some meals. It is what it is.
Surprises me.
Yeah.
But overall, in all of our sites, there's a decline
in
the
congregate. Your congregate has dropped off.
And I don't know if we'll ever really please.
Get her back.
The, you know, I don't know that we'll ever, you know, how, are you guys going to go? I'm probably not going to go. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I there would have to be a reason that I would go, and I'm not sure what that would be. So, but I tell you what, I have been out and about, and I had a couple public hearings, and one was at Boscobel, and they were. I mean, the people that are going there are so pleased. They're just, it's a social event for them, and they're so pleased. And, it's a good thing. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we'll attract the other ones. That's where I think those voucher programs have to be more, you know. The state's so big on social isolation, but if people don't want to come, they don't want to come, but they might still need a meal. So.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody has to be social.
Right. I'm not that social. I'd like to be home by myself.
Exactly. Yeah, they can't assume that everybody just needs that.
Right.
So.
Don't want to see everybody scrape your beans off.
I'm not kidding you. Those beans are driving Ruth and I crazy.
And that's because beans are really healthy for you. I mean,
they
you
are
eat it all the time now.
They are.
You eat beans.
But for God's sake, you can only offer them so many times in a week. So. I mean, we did black bean brownies for God's sake, and they actually, in some cases, were pretty good. It's kind of
that's awful.
I just want chocolate in my brownies. I don't need somebody trying to make them healthy for me. So it is. It's going to be interesting. And the fact that the amount of paperwork now with having to analyze all of these is it's very, very, very time consuming. And I'm not sure that Grant Regional is going to be doing it for free for very much longer. So because it took Tracy a long time. She literally had to go through and analyze all these menus. And she does that with her normal menu planning, but had to literally go through and it was very, very time consuming. So, and that's not fair to her. So we'll see what happens. So that might be an additional expense in the future. All right. Any other concerns?
I was going to ask any other questions or concerns, anything anybody wants to bring up and discuss.
If you're interested in that Aging Advocacy Day, just let me know, but we'll probably we still got time in March to do a sign-up, so if you want more information on it, typically we just go, we have an advocacy speaker that tells you kind of what to talk about. We usually send materials with people like the annual reports and things like that. And There's usually lunch involved, which is never a bad thing. Carolyn, there's also a disabilities one that I don't think I have the date on yet, but if you're interested in that,
I will check on
that too. And then I was just going to say to you, once we get this up and rolling with that other van, we might look at some of those opportunities that you've talked about with, you know, some of that group in Platteville.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so if nothing else, next meeting is March 20th, 2019. Unless you let us know.
Yeah, which will be like spring.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It'll probably be a blizzard, but, you know.
Awesome.
This winter can stay just as precipitation free as possible.
Happy, but
well,
next
doesn't make everybody happy when it snows either.
Winners and losers.